Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
What a save! Koskinen with the glove! Unbelievable!
McDavid, 500 points!
Now we've got a wild scrum with fights breaking out all over the place.
This is a little bit obscene in terms of what the Edmonton Oilers are doing on the power play.
This is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers.
Evan Bouchard with a little snapshot from the right point!
I'm James Neal.
This is Jujhar Khaira from your Edmonton Oilers.
This is the Battle of Alberta we've been waiting for 3 decades!
Save made by Smith.
This is Mike Smith.
Leon Draisaitl.
This is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers.
Unbelievable. And this is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
Connor McDavid wins the game for Edmonton.
Now, Bob Stauffer on the official station of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 CHED.
Literally a god on the ice, let's face it. And if ever there was a rock star god, well, I think we'd all agree. We know who it was from Led Zeppelin. This is Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan S. Scott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. It is the usual suspects on Thursday. Sportsnet's Louis DeBrusque at 12:35 from the NHL Network for our friends at Canadian Power Pack. Kevin Weeks at 1:05. Edmonton sporting icon, Montreal-based media personality, Georges Laroque at 1:35. And we'll have a recap, and that's where we're going to get started. The Edmonton Oilers, an off day today. The team flew home last night after the matinee overtime victory, albeit against the Montreal Canadiens B-Squad. Sometimes those games are actually tougher to play for the regular NHL guys than a bunch of hungry kids that want to put in a showing. But whatever the case, the Oilers ultimately won in overtime. A little bit of a surprise as to who they started with. And, well, maybe a guy making a late run to get in the mix here, carrying forward in the organization as well. So we'll get to all of that in the first half hour of the show. We'll tell you that you can reach us at any time on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. When the province returns to action, so too will the River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Find everything you'll need for your next flooring project at 143rd Street and 111th Avenue or at ashleyfinefloors.com. Top story, how about this for you? Since January 30th, the Edmonton Oilers have the third best record in the NHL, points percentage-wise. And just so you think, well, yeah, it's only since January 30th. Well, the problem with that is that's a 46-game mark. They're 32-12-2. The only two teams that are better than Edmonton since the end of January are the Colorado Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights. And to put things in perspective for Vegas, they are 21-3 this season against the three California teams. Against Los Angeles, who got pounded last night 6-0 by Colorado. Vegas is, you know, smoking San Jose. That's who Vegas whacked last night, 6-0. And the Anaheim Ducks. So kind of puts things in a little bit of perspective there. As good as Vegas and Colorado are, they're good. They're deep. And that's why many people will pick them over the Edmonton Oilers. You know, the Oilers obviously got to get out of the Canadian division first. But I think depth is going to be a concern for a lot of fans out there in oil country, and I get that. But the reality of it is, for 7/8 of this season, the Edmonton Oilers have been the third best team in the NHL based on points percentage. And again, every division has a couple weaker teams. The East Division has three teams that gave up amongst the most goals in the National Hockey League this year between New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Buffalo. The Central Division, you had some teams struggle, especially down the stretch. Chicago wasn't as good as they were earlier in the year. Dallas never got back to the level that they were at last year during the playoffs. It's a division that had Detroit in it. They didn't do much this season. We already talked about the West. Actually, Ottawa had the fourth best record in the Canadian division for the final 40 games of the season. It's an interesting time, to say the least. So many things going on right now. Our top story, again, is brought to you daily by Legacy Heating and Cooling. Get your AC today with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. Brendan, I'm going to bring you in right now, just before we do the recap of last night's game. How would you describe the Oilers right now? Because I'm going to ask the question to the listeners as well. Like, how good of a team do you... They got the third best record in the league for the final 7/8 of the season. I mean, that would suggest they're an elite team. I don't think I would be brazen enough to say they're an elite team. What do you think? Like, the numbers would... Just to put things in perspective, we'll add a couple more here, okay? The Oilers have gone from 25th to 12th to 10th in points percentage. They've gone from, over the last three seasons, they've gone from 20th to 14th to 7th in goals for, from 25th to 15th to 10th in goals against, or goals against. This next stat is going to surprise you. They've gone from 27th to 14th to 6th in save percentage. They've had the number one power play in the league the last 2 years, this year by more than 2%, and their penalty kill, which was hurting for certain early in the year, was sitting around 25th, is currently up to 10th, and is on a ridiculous run over the last 21 games. I think off the top of my head, they've killed 47 of their last 50 penalty killing situations. So how would you describe the Oilers? And that's the question I have for the listeners right now. You can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Brendan, the floor is yours.
They're believers at this point, Bob. I think that they've seen the impact of when they all buy into Dave Tippett's message. You know, they're past the point of it needing solidification. So they're confident in what they're doing right now, and it's growing. And everything that they're saying about wanting to be rolling, heading into the right time of the season, it's actually being put into practice right now. It's not a bad thing that they got tested a couple of times against Montreal when maybe, you know, some people out there didn't think that they would be. Those are the kinds of games you want to be coming out on the right side of, I think, heading into the postseason. So everything is going right, and I think that they believe in themselves.
Just to put things in perspective, the Winnipeg Jets, who I believe are better than people think, okay? They got a good goalie. That's who Edmonton's going to play. We've got the schedule now. We know it's going to start first two games Wednesday and Friday in Edmonton next week, 7 o'clock on the Oilers Radio Network and NHL Hockey and Rogers. Jack and myself will have a call. Cam will be contributing with Robin Reed. The reality of the situation is the Jets have lost 9 of their last 11. 9 of their last 11 games. Edmonton's lost 12 of their last 46 in regulation. Think about that for a second. You know, I'd be interested to see what people think. And again, yesterday, I'll be honest, I wasn't overly happy watching Edmonton's performance. They had some guys that needed to have some decent games that had some rough moments. We're going to head now into the Oilers Now Audio Vault for Direct Workwear, supporting local and Canadian manufacturers in Edmonton and online at directworkwear.com. Here's Cam Moon with the call.
It's a tune-up game for the playoffs. Nurse and Barry. Barry lost it, and here's the shot by Caulfield. He scores.
Anybody that thinks the Oilers were going to walk away at this because the Canadians had a bunch of players out of the lineup? No.
Nope. Pass on the left to Neal. In over the line to Chase on. He'll get to the middle of the ice. Over to the right. He'll shoot. Scores! Alex Chase on. Let it go. It looked like Primo got a good piece of it, but not quite enough. And bringing it over the line, Suzuki shoots and scores. Nick Suzuki came in on the right side, cut to the middle, put it through Smith. Kept in by Barry. Left side to Nugent Hopkins. He shoots. Scores! scores! Ryan Nugent Hopkins off the left side, picks the corner. McDavid shoots it, it's blocked. He gets it back, goes to the side of the goal, puts it in front off of Primo. It's a loose puck. Draisaitl scores! And the Oilers are up 3-2.
Draisaitl with his NHL-leading 15th power play goal of the season.
Just got it into the Oiler end. That puck gets turned over. Caulfield in front of the net. Suzuki scores. Caulfield finds Suzuki, and this game is tied at 3. For the second time in as many games with the Montreal Canadiens, we're going to need a little extra time. Very long pass to Draisaitl. He'll go to Cahoon. All alone. Scores! Dominic Cahoon! He'll go stick side on Primo, and the Oilers win it in overtime. 4-3.
And again, there were some rough moments in yesterday's game. Caleb Jones had a puck, did a double hit on a puck that led to an easy goal for the Canadiens to tie it. The Oilers got outplayed through the first 12 to 14 minutes of period number 3. It was one of those games where Cahoon and Puljujarvi, when pucks came up to them on the boards in their defensive zone, they just couldn't get it into space for McDavid the entire game. And they're playing the Canadiens B team. There's no question about it. But we'll ask this of Louis DeBrusk a little bit later on. You know, sometimes it's tough to play those games. You're home and cooled. You know where you're at. And I got news for you, for the listeners out there. Like, players want to play. Edmonton plays Vancouver Saturday. The Oilers players, my guess is many of them do not want to go a week without playing. So I'm going to be really intrigued to see who's in the lineup coming up on Saturday. But let's get some thoughts back in the Oilers Now audio vault for Direct Workwear. Dave Tippett was asked about starting Dominic Cahoon and Leon Draisaitl instead of McDavid and Draisaitl to start OT.
Just playing a hunch. He's quick, and him and Dreyer, they work well together, so just playing a hunch.
And Dave Tippett also had these comments on getting the two road wins and staying healthy.
You know, we've been managed to keep COVID out of our group. We've been real disciplined around, you know, the cities we go to. You're confined to the hotel, but it's, you know, the guys have stuck with it, and sometimes not easy. I mean, it gets long sometimes, but the guys have stuck with it, and they showed up, and they make sure that they're prepared to play, and our leadership group has really led the way with that. So I give our players a ton of credit. It's not as easy as you think. It's just, you know, you're confined to spaces, but they've come out and focused on hockey and played well.
Alex Chiasson, meanwhile, who scored yesterday, added an assist, says the Oilers have come together well down the stretch.
I think as a group, we've identified that. We've talked about using the last 12 to 14 games to build a game, and you don't want to kind of ease your way into the games. You don't want to create any bad habits, and there's nothing better than feeling good about your game going into game one in the first round. So we've done a great job as a team. We've talked about it before games, and our practices have been sharp. So I like where our team's at right now.
By the way, the Oilers with the victory last night against Montreal improved to 19-7-2 on the road this season. That is tied for the best road record in the National Hockey League. I mentioned Dominic Cahoon. This guy's playing for a contract. It's funny how things work out, you know. The morning of October 9th, which was a Friday, you wonder whether or not the Edmonton Oilers thought they had Jacob Markstrom. That day, Dominic Cahoon's camp, which was not totally headed up by Jerry Johansson at that point, was offered a 2-year contract after Cahoon was not qualified as a restricted free agent by Buffalo. Cahoon's camp elected to turn that down. The Oilers signed Kyle Turris that day. The next day, Edmonton and Tyler Ennis, after Cahoon's camp turned it down. The next day, the Edmonton Oilers, the morning of the 10th, they signed Tyson Barrie, who, oh, by the way, had 2 assists yesterday. He now leads all NHL defense in scoring. He's going to win the scoring unless Cale Makar gets 5 points tonight. I don't see that happening. So Barry's going to end up the highest scoring defenseman in the NHL this season. Then they brought in Mike Smith. And then about a month later, suddenly Cahoon came in on a 1-year deal. And sometimes agents know how to read situations. But Cahoon's playing himself for a contract. He said he was surprised yesterday that he got the call to start OT.
I was thinking my game is probably over, but then coach said that I'm going with Dry, so I was a little bit surprised, but no, at the end I'm very happy for that opportunity, and yeah, obviously very, very happy that it went that way.
And he had this additional comment on his overtime winner.
It was obviously nice to score an OT, and it was a great play from the guys. First, Tice made a good quick up there, and obviously we know that Leon can make those plays every time. So I just tried to find my way there, work hard there, and Leon found me, and I'm happy I scored.
Speaking of Drysdale and McDavid, got a text today from a Western Conference manager. Direct quote is stupid what those two guys have done this year. And Connor McDavid, obviously, 104 points. He's going to win the scoring race. The Oilers, the last 3 years, are the two highest scoring players. It's not even close. Connor McDavid leads the NHL 317 points in the last three seasons. Drysdale is second at 298. The next highest scoring player is Patrick Kane. He's 38 points behind Drysdale. So those guys have been terrific the last 3 years. The team's taken a step forward in the last 2 years and done so without a lot of cap space. Dave Tippett had these comments on the impact of McDavid and Drysdale on the team this season.
Well, he's had a heck of a year. He just, there's some nights, to tell you the truth, I look and the amount of chances he creates on the ice is, you wonder why he doesn't get more points. But he's had a phenomenal year. I mean, he's the leader of our group in a lot of different ways. His play, his leadership on and off the ice. So between him and Leon, they really drive our offense, and they've had superb years.
They have. Drysdale may not even get voted an all-star. Think about this for a second. Right now he leads the league in plus-minus at +31, and he's going to finish with the most power play goals at 15. That's hard to do, just because you get a minus when the opposition scores and when you're on the PP like we saw yesterday. We're going to get to some of your texts. We'll get to NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing when we come back on Oilers Now.
I'm Darnell Nurse from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Thank you, Darnell. Into the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. I asked you, how good of a team are the Oilers? What are they right now? John has texted the show to say, I think we, the Oilers, he says, are good but not great. We need more scoring depth, another legitimate top four left shot D-man to be an elite team. This is a huge playoffs for Nugent Hopkins. If he doesn't produce, the Oilers can't justify paying him the money he wants. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Another texter comes in saying the Oilers are dangerous. Teams are scared of 97. Nobody knows what to expect with him this motivated, dangerous. And we shall see if that ultimately comes to fruition. This text comes in saying, interesting stat, if you change the win-loss record of the top 12 teams to reflect real wins and losses and not give out the extra points for overtime losses, that team would get a zero for a loss. The Oilers are actually eighth overall in the league this year rather than the 11th they currently sit in. I think they actually moved up to 10th, but anyhow, it's been an interesting run. Another texter says the Oilers aren't taking all the bad penalties they've done for the last 10 years. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Keep it coming at any time. Another texter says, Bob, I would say the Oilers are very good but not elite yet, a couple pieces away. Another top six forward, a goalie of the future, experience for their young D-man. They will all be coming in the next couple of years. Exciting to be an Oilers fan. There you have it. And again, I will watch that game with trepidation. How much criticism should you have? I like the fact that the coach cut back the minutes a bit with some of the guys. There were some tough moments, like Ryan McLeod. Of the 10 games he played, that might have been the least effective game that he played. You know, Kara lost some faceoffs on the penalty kill, but bounced back and did a good job of blocking some lanes. Chiasson had a pretty good game, turned some pucks over. We talked about Cahoon and Puljujärvi, fought the puck all game long. Kyle Turris came in, didn't make much of an impact. I think you saw the difference between Yamamoto and Turris. But all of that being said, at the end of the day, I don't know, and I'm going to ask Louis this coming up here. I got to think that was a pretty tough game for the Oilers to play, frankly. And I'm going to be really intrigued to see what happens on Saturday. The overall body of work this year, it's got to be stated, it's been outstanding, especially from their top players. I mean, we're talking 46 games now at this point where the team's been the third best team in the league. So you can sit there and nitpick, and I did at times yesterday, nitpick some of the things that were happening. Hey, Dave Tippett said it after the game. He called the team sloppy. I agree. They were sloppy, and they got the win. Let's go to NHL today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing Company, branded apparel, products, and awards, all created in-house. Shop local at ElitePromoMarketing.com. And here is Brendan Escott.
Three games tonight with Colorado hosting LA, Minnesota in St. Louis, and Calgary home to Vancouver. Marc-Andre Fleury, Robin Lehner sharing the William M. Jennings Trophy as the goaltending duo with the fewest goals scored against it. Fleury actually finished the regular season with a 1.98 goals against average. Darcy Kemper and Aiden Hill will form two-thirds of Canada's goaltending duo at the upcoming 2021 World Championship, along with Canucks prospect Mikey DiPietro. Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane of Calgary are confirmed, as are first-rounders Cole Perfetti, Braden Schneider from last year, and projected first overall pick Owen Power as well. Team USA revealed its roster, featuring, again, Arizona's Connor Garland, Calder candidate Jason Robertson, and 18-year-old projected lottery pick Matt Beniers. He, like Power, of Michigan. Bakersfield Condors and Henderson taking on the Silver Knights this evening, a battle between the top two Pacific Division teams. Condors 5-2 against them thus far, having won five straight.
Another texter just fired in here. Just a reminder, if the Oilers had traded for Taylor Hall at the deadline, we'd have a Stanley Cup this year. I have no problem giving up a first-round pick for a first overall player like Taylor in a Stanley Cup or not. I can tell you, you might have felt that way, James, but there are a lot of other people that would not have been prepared to trade the Oilers first round or get Taylor Hall. Let's not forget, ultimately, Buffalo only got a second-round pick, and Hall picked and chose where he went. It's going to be interesting to see how Boston does. If they have success, Hall's going to get re-signed in Boston. There is no question about that. JL says, decent team are the Oilers, but I'm worried about the imbalance we have and the size of players. I think we're going to need to get a few more bigger, faster guys to replace some smaller guys in the lineup. That one comes to us from JL, which is why players like McLeod and Dylan Holloway are going to be an important part of the Oilers' future here carrying forward. All right, 1229. Keep the text coming. What type of team do the Oilers have? You tell me. We'll go off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back with the big man, Louis DeBrusk, from NHL Hockey and Rogers when we return.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.